Talk given Saturday, 18th December 1971. We will find that we are so tied up with the becoming process. We are so conscious of it all the time that we are unable simply to be. Our state is one-sided all the time, tied up with the becoming process, a movement which is directional. And if we look carefully at this becoming process in the mind as it goes on, we will find that it is all the time self-oriented. That is the point of reference of the becoming process. It is self-oriented. And the self-orientation is such that it cuts us off from the totality. In being cut off from the totality, we lose our wholeness. We are not in full relationship with it. And the consequence is that instead of simply being here and now, we are, as it were, like a straw tossed upon swirling waters. Notice how this drive to become this, that, or the other dominates our whole life. I want to become a millionaire. I want to become a general. I want to become a clerk, a farmer. I want to become a holy man, an enlightened one, a leader of the people, one who ushers in a new order of society, and all the rest of it. All the time there is this drive. And we imagine that, this is my real vocation in life. So all our energies are bent towards the fulfillment of the idea or ideas which arise in consequence of the drive of unconscious desire from within. So this great becoming process, self-oriented, partial, leaves us, keeps us in a state of strife, inward strife. We may become what we want to become, this, that, or the other. Our ambitions may be fulfilled. But we fail, therefore, to be. If there is this preoccupation with becoming and the failure to be, then the purpose of our existence has never been fulfilled. What is the meaning of to be? One would immediately, quite naturally, ask the question, to be what? And most of the world would say, to be yourself. But that surely is a mistaken answer, to be yourself. we are all being ourselves to the exclusion of the whole. All the time. Hence the state of conflict. Caught up in this becoming process, in this swirl. To be means selfless, egoless being. That is the real meaning of to be. And in this egoless being, not isolated from the whole, the purpose of one's existence finds fulfillment all the time. Not as a goal, as an end to be attained, some special work to be done, or anything like that. The goal, the work to be done, all that gets included in the movement of life. When there is this balanced, harmonious movement of life, then being is stable, perpetually stable, in the midst of becoming. Becoming is associated with time. Being is in actual fact, only in eternity. But eternity, as I said before, is carried on the wings of time. And this being is carried on the stream of becoming. When that happens, there is harmony in one's life. Not according to our definitions of harmony. That is to say, our ought-to-be's. We say to ourselves, if such and such a state prevails, if I can do this, that and the other, all's well in the garden, I'm in a state of harmony. Apparently, a state of harmony. Actually, in a fool's paradise. We know from our own experience that we do go through such states. There comes a period when, precisely this is happening. And then something comes along, and lo and behold, everything is turmoil and maybe even wreck and ruin. When it goes to the extreme. Caught up in the stream of becoming, the blind drives and urges in us are given particular shapes by thought. And we become the slaves of these particular shapes. Our objectives in life if we are free of our objectives in life, then life's objective for each one of us will be fulfilled through us. Is a totally different situation. Then we do not fail to be. You see how it is then? That state of being is not a static state. It is not a state in which one is actually caught up, imprisoned, in which one conforms to this, that or the other idea, one's own or somebody else's. It is in fact a live state. And a live state is perpetually growing. And its growth is not to be understood in the sense of expansion. But its growth actually means a life, other life alternation in the immediate now. Life is action. Other life is also action, which is the fruit of this action, which we call life. I'm using the term other life rather than the term death, because death is so associated with finishing for us. It is not that. This vibrating, life, other life, action, and the action which is the fruit of the first action, which in its turn becomes the seed of the next action. This perpetual vibrating goes on. And in that is being, the totality. And the totality which is being includes and transcends our duals in our ordinary awareness, which are implied in our use of the words being and becoming. We'll follow this quietly and slowly. Between each pulse of life, other life, there is a transcendent stillness and silence. In that transcendent stillness and silence, there is creative action, the great mystery. Action which is not concerned with particular results. It throws out, it manifests this, that and the other, but it is unconcerned with the manifestation. It neither enjoys nor suffers on account of creative action. It is pure creative action. It is transcendence itself. And it takes place between two such pulses, each pulse being life, other life, the next pulse, life, other life. And between the two is creation, in that stillness and silence. Now this happens because there is no grasping whatsoever to any one creative pulse. This is the nature of being in the ultimate, the supreme sense. This is total being. This is the kind of thing that those who realized meant when they used words like Yahweh or God or Brahman. So you see, it's utter indescribability. Now, here and now, we living in this dualistic world, caught up in samsara, in the birth-death pulse, vibration, you see, birth-death state, you see, we have to get into tune with that life-other-life-life-other-life state. What holds us down to the birth-death cage is the fact that we are isolatively self-aware, cut off from the totality. Therefore, we are caught up in this becoming process only. And we have no vision, no sense, no power of responsivity to that transcendent state of being. So the problem is, or if you like, the task is to move out of this birth-death disturbance into the life, other life, creative being. See, it is to this kind of thing that this whole question of the stillness and the silence is related. And the non-stillness, the non-silence, is our ordinary state because we are caught up in this self-oriented, anchored to the past thought process. The thought process which arises out of the state of ignorance, that is to say, the unawakened to the supreme reality state, that is the state of ignorance, and which gives rise, as the Buddhists would say, to the whole of the paticca samuppada. The conformations, as they are called, our volitions, and so forth, which are all determined in terms of limitation, finitude, particularity, confined to birth, death, all the time, and our self-consciousness, the whole of the process of mentality, materiality, which is embodied in our whole psychophysical organism, the sense impressions, the sensations as such, the feelings, the craving, the hardcore of craving which arises out of it, the grasping for particular things, which all belong to this birth-death realm. The conditioned state, when that is, what we grasp at is realized, and the disruption of the conditioned state, its ending, which is inevitable. And therefore, death, the death which is just disruption, the wages of sin, the wages of the state of separation from the totality. So, we have to look deeply into ourselves All the time. All the time. Not just at meditation time or dinner time or whatever it is, you see. We have to look deeply into ourselves and watch this becoming process. Very, very carefully. Just attend to it. I've said it almost ad nauseam now. Neither indulge it nor fight against it. If I fight against it, I will fight against it because I already have in mind a preconceived desirable state, which is only a conditioned state and belongs to the same realm of death. Okay. This being caught up in the becoming process. And because we are caught up in the becoming process, all that is presented in the analytical form of greed, hate, delusion, jealousy, envy, avarice, ambition, and all the rest of it, which are the sources of sorrow and suffering, they come into being. Watch this becoming process carefully. See how it is tied up with ambition in some form or other, whatever this ambition may be. To become the Holy One, the Enlightened One, to realize Nirvana, to serve God, and all the rest of it, they are all ambitions. They are all ambitions because they are formulated by thought. The thought process. And thought is rooted in the dead past. It is that which is already known. And the dead past, as long as it is given life in our memory as such, is the obstruction to the free vibrating of life, other life, creative reality. You see, if one can awaken to this creative reality, then one awakens minus the self, the separate self. I can't awaken to the creative reality and still be I. That is to say, the conscious, the self-conscious, separated I. It is an awakening. The whole, the totality, has awoken through this instrument, this person who has awakened, as we say in common language, is only the instrument. The instrument which now is free from all limitations of the conscious and the unconscious mind. He is the instrument through which that totality has awakened. And in this, the instrument has truly succeeded in being. You know, something suddenly comes up to mind. Everything moves through space, doesn't it? As we say, in the ordinary way, all things, whether they be alive or inanimate or whatever it is, they move through space. Supposing there were a hole in space. Now try and imagine the impossible. Supposing there were a hole in space. When anything is approaching that hole, how will it move? It will move round that hole and remain in space. If it entered that hole, it will cease to exist forever and ever. Now, if I am like the hole in space, the swirl, the sorrow, the pain, the conflict of the total becoming process just goes round me, past me. But I, as the whole, H-O-L-E, the whole in space, can move anywhere I like. An extraordinary fantasy, you might say. So it is. It is an extraordinary fantasy. But it may be suggestive. If I were like that hole in space, the most significant way in which I can talk about it is to say that I am totally empty, utterly void. And in that emptiness, all I-ness and mindness have utterly vanished. Now I have suggested this fantasy and used the term a hole in space. Now let us look at it in a slightly different way. Instead of being a hole in space, I am myself the reality which is space. We all think that we know what space is, but we don't. We have ideas about it, which is different from knowing space. In the supreme sense. If one realizes space, one is space. That is to say, although one is visible, tangible, an object, a human being living and moving on the earth, you'd bump into him and so forth, although that is the case, in his inner self, he is totally empty. And that total emptiness will contain all sound and the absence of sound. It will contain all that. and get the feel of it. You contain that totality. The duals will be there. They'll be wholly subsumed in this emptiness. The emptiness will subsume the duals and simultaneously transcend them. When that is the case, you are actually completely in tune with this creative mystery, this transcendent reality which is being. Now, what is the outstanding manifestation of becoming? Thoughts, feelings, words, language. The essential ingredients of all three are the sense impressions, visual images, and the memory of them, and the consciousness of them, auditory forms, and the memory of them, and the consciousness of them, tactile forms, and so on and so on. All the sense impressions. Now these sense impressions are remembered simply because they are finite, they are limited, they are particular. And having arisen, they tend to crystallize. And not leave you, the living being, in your innermost nature, not, you are left not free to be creative. This creativeness is like the creativeness of transcendence. You're not left free to be that. If one can really begin to get even a glimmer of this, one will see why in all the religious disciplines this silence is so much emphasized, extolled. Consider the process which is supposed to take place in as one enters the deeper and deeper states of consciousness. In Buddhist terms, they are called the jhanas, or the Hindu word dhyanas, the different attentivenesses, how much deeper and deeper they become. And these attentivenesses, if you are a mystic, you would call states of communion. But they are states of attentiveness. Now, when one is in the preliminary state of attentiveness, there is the movement of thought involved in it. Thought, feeling, ideas, words, and so forth. And then, if one is still fully awake, which means fully sensitive, alive, and not falling asleep, then all that subsides. And you begin to enter the emptiness. There are no words, no thoughts, no ideas. Therefore, no recognition of emptiness as emptiness in the sense that I am entering the emptiness. You see how the isolated I gradually dissolves away, is removed. And you see, whatever the religious discipline may be, whether it be Christian or Hindu or Buddhist or born of the teachings of Lao Tzu or anybody, or in modern times of Krishnamurti, you read Krishnamurti very carefully and you will find that he states in his own uniquely modern and original form precisely this. You dissolve away. The isolatively self-conscious I is out. To use Krishnamurti's rather strong phrase, you are nothing. But when he says nothing, he means it in a sense which is quite beyond the ordinary sense when we express our contempt of somebody by saying, you're nothing, you're nobody. Not worth a brass button. Not that sort of thing. That is all in the plane of worldliness, and it's all in the rubbish heap of the becoming process. This nothing is a transcendent nothing. You are nothing. But in saying that, you see, both things have been said. That whatsoever I am, in terms of worldly approval and value, is really nothing. We are as dust in the eyes of God, aren't we? No, before the eyes, we are less than the dust before the eyes of God. So it is a nothingness. And the counterpart of this nothing is the transcendent no thing, out of which emerge all things. So you see, this continuous and excessive preoccupation with the becoming process is what prevents us from being. But the becoming process means all worldliness, all worldly values, however exalted they may be. However sublime they may seem, they will seem sublime and exalted and so forth to us only because we are caught up in this cage of birth, death, beginning, ending, which is always self-oriented. And being self-oriented is the source of sorrow, of suffering, of ill, of disharmony. Put it in another form, it is the source of the illness of the soul, of the psyche, of the mind. Use whichever word you like. The ill state of the mind. And as long as there is the ill state of the mind, this psychophysical organism is only subhuman. When the ill state of the mind is healed, then this one, this person, is a true human, the Son of Man. which is the same as saying the Son of God. Now, what is the meaning of stillness and silence for the true human? What is one of its supreme meanings? Such a person absorbs everything. He refuses nothing. He absorbs everything. This is not to suggest for a moment that he indulges in everything. When I say refuses nothing, he definitely refuses wine, women, song as objects of enjoyment and pleasure and all that sort of thing. But his inner sensitivity is awake to everything that comes to him. There is no rejection whatsoever. There is no preferential acceptance whatsoever. This is the full human. And it is this absorption which enables the redemptive process, the healing process of the world mind to go on. And this is one of the supreme meanings of the birth of Christ. The emergence of the Christ consciousness. In terms of yoga, we refer this to anahata. In terms of the Kabbalah, we refer this to rahamim, which is compassion, or the other word for it, tifereth, which is beauty. And it is this which is the Christ consciousness center, the sun of the absolute, Ein Sof, the infinite. Pure mind, sahasrara. Use any terms you like. Now let us not say, oh, all this sounds so wonderful, it's so distant, I will never be able to do it. I haven't got anything to do except to let be. It is all here. This, you, I, me, we, are not excluded from the transcendent whole. Therefore, it is not exactly correct to say this is not for me. It is me. It is the very stuff of me. How else can it come out? How else could I even say these things? And it is just you. It's just me. So now, the whole of sorrow, suffering, dukkha, noise, disturbance, disharmony is all absorbed right in here. At the level of the true man, the human. see, look, we are right 1 week to Christmas. Let this be born right now. Because if there is this condition of sensitivity, the awakened sensitivity, then we will be free from this pathetic drive in us to avoid pain, sorrow, difficulty, and the undesirable, and try and grasp at what is the pleasant, the joyful, the desirable. It will also relieve us from the struggle to find out the truth, to discover the truth. We struggle to discover the truth because we are in such a state of ignorance that we have pushed truth out of our being as an outside object to be gained. It isn't this case at all. Sri Krishna in the Gita, Jesus, so simply and beautifully in the Gospel, says, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am. But that I am here, Tifereth, is not the isolated self-conscious I am, which is the object, whether living or not living, unrelated to the totality. This I am is the one and only I am. And in that sense, no one can deny it. It is the unabandonable. It is the undeniable. Then to say I am does not absolutely imply the other of whom one says you are. In saying I am, everything is included. In saying you are, or it is, everything is included. But feel this, really feel this out right now. Nothing to be rejected, nothing to be preferentially accepted, but just to be sensitive and remain sensitive. This is the one situation where you have to summon up all your virya, your strength, your energy, your power from within. The power which is the passion, which is transcendent desire, to use a theistic term, which is the will of God. It is there, locked up in the organism, in the actual psychophysical living organism. It is there in every single atom of our being, because the atom lives that way, this perpetual vibrating. But let the mind awaken to it. Don't make a thought of it. because then it will be outside. One is still in the, one is still shut out from the rest. If there is a screen which stands between all of you and me, it's no good my catching hold of that screen and going about with it, because the screen is everlastingly in front of me, shutting me out from everybody else. Be free of the screen. Let go of the screen. Throw it away. This is it. So you see the inevitable consequences, the freedom from pleasure, pain, joy, sorrow, the separated duals which are everlastingly in conflict. Now be very careful. You know how the mind will react? This little rascal, the mind, is an imp inside us. He will react, the mind will react this way. Ah, that's right, I'll do it. All will be well for me afterwards. Be very careful. You may catch it consciously, but it is deep down in the unconscious. All the time it is there, working. And you see, it is the point is, it is not confined to me. Because mind is not my property. It is not a particular organ which is specific to me. You've got your own heart and your own liver. I've got my heart and liver, which are different from your heart and liver. But mind is different now. It is not like that. It is one mind. If I catch it and deal with it in terms of what a person out of ignorance will say is my unconscious, I have to deal with the total unconscious. If you catch one thief in the state, in the country, and do what is necessary to prevent any thievery coming from him, you haven't done that whole task, because there are lots of thieves. The whole thing has to be cleaned out. You see the meaning of vicarious atonement. There is a very deep and powerful activity of vicariousness going on all the time. If that were not the case, our communication would be ineffective. Wouldn't it? Mind communicates with mind. Heart communicates with heart. But it is not a case of just one mind communicating with another mind, as if you can label this bit of mind and say, ah, that's Firoz Mehta, or and this is Frank Dennis' mind. It's not like that, you see. It is just universal. You can't compartment it out. All the time we are in a psychical atmosphere. See how we get caught in it. I mean, we know from our ordinary everyday experience how easily we get caught up in a kind of a universal gloom or depression which has settled over the whole city or country, as the case may be. We catch these things just as Well, not quite like that. I was just going to say, just as we catch germs, because germs are little fellows on their own, bad chaps. But you see, it's like that. So this principle of vicariousness is at work. And if there is no refusal, if there is complete sensitivity, then the true human is the redeemer in the real sense of all mankind. He who is in that state has realized, or rather, let me put it the other way around, through him who is in that state, silence and stillness and harmony in their reality, in their fullness, have come to realization.